Thanks. Yeah, we thought we'd wait for the garbage truck before we get
there. Yeah, so it doesn't look like it'll be the case today.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So we appreciate the opportunity to respond to several points raised in the hearing by interveners and the commissioner. Commission needs of Aboriginal residents have been raised frequently in the hearing. We believe that in many cases, Aboriginal people in the North can be providers of services and not just customers. Our testimony includes examples of locally owned and operated Aboriginal community service providers who are working in remote regions. They train and hire local people for long-term, skilled jobs. They provide services for their residents and organizations that were not otherwise available or are less expensive than those from the incumbent provider. Further, they demonstrate that there is substantial revenue to be generated not only from residents, but also from anchor tenants, including public service agencies, businesses, and nonprofit organizations. For example, KOKNET in Northern Ontario provides distance education services, health networking facilities, and video conferencing for agencies serving remote communities. It has helped communities such as Slate Falls to set up their own IP telephony and cable TV services, and has provided mobile telephone service in communities that no major carrier was willing to serve. The EU Communications Network also has established a regional fiber optic network and plans to provide services to Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal communities and public service providers that were not otherwise available. Specific to Northwest Health's service area, Katladuchi First Nation demonstrates that Aboriginal organizations can install modern community networks that could lease capacity such as dark fiber to Northwest Health and interconnect with other backbone providers. To expand this model in Northwest Health territory, Aboriginal providers need the opportunity to compete and access the subsidies currently available only to Northwest Health. They also require access to existing transport infrastructure that has been built using public and subsidized funds. We concur with several interveners that there are significant shortcomings in the modernization plan submitted by Northwest Health. It fails to upgrade or extend services to all communities in its territory, makes many commitments contingent on raising additional funding, and proposes solutions and technologies that, in our opinion, are far from modern in many instances. Further, it is clear from testimony that many communities were not consulted on the plan, and its specifics and implications for customers are not widely understood. We think that simply requiring Northwest Health to submit an annual report on its progress is not sufficient. There should be an annual external review or audit to document progress on the plan and specifics on how national contribution fund subsidies have been spent. Further, as is common with many contracts, as an incentive, payment should be linked to performance. A percentage of the payment allocated from the fund should be withheld until the work has been satisfactorily completed and facilities are in service. There also needs to be much more thorough monitoring of quality of service. There have been many complaints from interveners that the service provided does not reach even minimum advertised speeds. We were astounded to learn that during peak usage times, a community radio station in Kugluktuk cannot obtain a stable 64 kilobyte per second upload link for streaming, which is a fraction of the minimum offered upload speed. Regular monitoring of actual upload and download speeds and service outages should be required. Meaningful and documented consultation with Aboriginal communities should be required as condition for approval of any revised vision of Northwest Health's plan. We draw attention to the Federal Communication Commission's requirements in the U.S. that providers receiving subsidies to serve tribal lands must, quote, meaningfully engage with tribal governments. This engagement is required to include, one, a needs assessment and deployment planning with a focus on tribal community anchor institutions, two, feasibility and sustainability planning, three, marketing services in a culturally sensitive manner, four, rights-of-way processes, land use permitting, facilities siting, environmental and cultural preservation review processes, and five, compliance with tribal businesses and licensing requirements.
What can the CRTC do now? Some interveners have suggested that action or perhaps even discussion of changes to subsidy schemes and requirements for broadband services should be deferred to a national policy review. Some have suggested that any changes could delay or derail implementation of Northwest Tel's modernization plan. We reject this argument and agree with Nunavut Broadcasting Development Corporation, NBDC, and others that addressing critical issues needs to begin now as part of this hearing. Northerners should not be forced to wait any longer. Several commissioners have pointed out that other federal government agencies need to be involved in a long-term strategy for financing investment and addressing needs for operating subsidies across the remote north. We agree. We don't expect the CRTC alone to solve all of the funding problems, but we do believe the CRTC has a mandate and opportunity to tackle some of these issues by implementing incentives for investment, efficiency, and innovation, and instituting competitive subsidy programs available to all qualified providers. This hearing provides an opportunity to begin necessary reforms. Addressing issues clearly within the scope of this hearing does not preclude addressing national subsidy policies and obligations of providers at a future forum. As a first step, the CRTC should open the National Contribution Fund, or NCF, in Northwest TEL's territory to competition from any provider able to provide the required services, including Aboriginal providers. A mechanism of competitive bids for least cost subsidies could be used. To prevent the potential problem of excluding some very small communities, the bids should be structured for subregions, including a group of communities. This model has been used in the past, for example, in the regional model deployed to service the 14 villages of Nunavik through the Kativik Regional Government's Temani Internet Project. The Commission has questioned whether they're being asked to adopt regulations to address social policies rather than telecommunications policies. We reject this arbitrary distinction. As First Mile and KFN pointed out in their written submissions, Section 7 of the Telecom Act states that, among other objectives, the Commission is mandated to facilitate the development of a telecommunications system that serves to, we quote, safeguard, enrich, and strengthen the social and economic fabric of Canada and its regions, render reliable and affordable telecommunications services of high quality accessible to Canadians in both urban and rural areas in all regions of Canada, enhance the efficiency and competitiveness of Canadian telecommunications, and respond to the economic and social requirements of users of telecommunications services. Many interveners have testified about the importance of reliable telecommunications, including broadband, for northern social and economic development. The CRTC is simply being asked to fulfill its mandate by implementing regulations that would contribute to achieving the objectives of the Act as they apply in the north. Concerning additional justification for action, in addition to the points made above, we believe the CRTC can justify proactive responses based on two additional considerations raised in the hearing. First, a case can be made that residents of Northwest TEL's territory do face discrimination in terms of service availability, quality of service, and pricing compared to residents in many other parts of Canada. There is also discrimination within Northwest TEL's territory, notably between services and prices offered to residents of communities served only by satellite and communities connected to terrestrial networks. Second, we believe that proactive regulatory responses can be justified on the grounds that Northwest TEL's territory is unique in the remoteness of a majority of the communities it serves. It's certainly true that there are areas of territory served by carriers in other parts of Canada that include small isolated communities deserving special consideration in a comprehensive review. However, the CRTC can justify taking innovative responses to address problems that affect the majority of Northwest TEL's territory. To conclude, we'd like to quote former Assembly of First Nations National Chief Matthew Kuhn-Combe speaking at the Indigenous People's Summit of the Americas in 2001. I believe that our children could be the agents of change. We can use technology. With access to new internet infrastructure that can be applied with the best networking capacities, we can connect our communities, our hospitals, our schools. We missed the Industrial Revolution. We will not miss the Information Technology Revolution. Thank you.
Commissioner Simpson.
Good morning. In paragraph 11, I just have one question. In paragraph 11, the last sentence, item 5, the compliance with travel business and licensing requirements, this is all within the basket of the FCC's utterances with respect to Aboriginal communities and participation in telecommunication systems. My question is this. We've heard a lot of conversation about the need for more coherence and across-the-board participation and what could be described as a backbone utility regime. And although a lot of the initial capital investment from tribal communities has been in a local service area, the projects are getting bigger bigger and more ambitious, moving into backbone and ultimately into core services. Is there anything you're aware of that we need to know with respect to complications that might create mutual exclusivity? I'm thinking governance here, that would have to be considered for you to become part of a wholesale or a backbone regime because of the objectives of ownership and governance from your communities?
Well, I think the EU communications network would be a good example of that's a regional leased dark fiber network based on, I believe it was Hydro-Quebec fiber, and that serves both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal communities. The Centre for the North, which is it's an office at the Conference Board of Canada, will be releasing a report specific to northern connectivity later on this summer, and that's one of the questions that they address in that report, so that might be a source of information.
What's your gut telling you, though, in terms of... because you're experts on the subject matter. What's your gut telling us? Is cooperation and net participation likely?
It's possible to do. I think there are ways to work that. I mean, yeah, you're asking a question about specifics that we don't have in front of us, and I think this report would be quite useful, but I don't see any major impediments to going in that direction as well.
There's mutual objectives here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Those are our questions. Now we'll hear from Mr. Fabian from the Ketaduchi First Nation.
We appreciate the opportunity to respond to several points raised by hearing interveners and commissioners. The Aboriginal communities as provide services as well as customers. You can just scratch that. That shouldn't be there. Sorry. To better have an understanding of KFN's infrastructure, the main reason for installing our own fiber for the community, we approached Northwestel in early 2009 about why they bypassed the reserve when they were installing fiber optics, and since they ran it alongside our reserve, and that our community would like to have better redundant communications for our community for safety reasons. And we were told that it was not economically feasible to provide services to such a small community of less than 300 members. Currently, KFN is serviced through the river route from the town of Hay River. During the summer of 2009, a house fire disrupted internet and phone services for everyone in the KFN community for approximately 4 days, which caused huge concerns with the community leadership regarding health and safety towards emergencies. During the emergency, during the summer, it takes emergency services at least 30 to 45 minutes to reach our community, and we were lucky that we had no emergencies during the outage. It is important for our community to look for alternatives, so therefore what you see today, we have taken it upon ourselves to learn about communication technologies and how far we can achieve our own goals. Currently, we have installed a local 1 kilometer, 48-strand dark fiber, as I mentioned before, and also this year we are continuing with an additional 14 kilometers to build a redundant communication along the community access road beyond the river route that the community has depended on for the past 30 years. Currently, we have the capabilities to lease our dark fiber infrastructure to the incumbent to better serve our community, and a more reliable, redundant, cost-effective service for our KFN membership. With this opportunity, we will help Northwestel meet its CRTC mandate and help Northwestel save hundreds of thousands of dollars in infrastructure upgrades in our First Nation community. And we will also give Northwestel the opportunity to build a better, meaningful relationship with our community that has been strained for the past few years. I would like to thank the CRTC for this opportunity and thank Northwestel for rejecting our request to install new communications on our KFN reserve. Because it gave our community the drive to learn and build our own fiber optic communication infrastructure we have today. We have shown our determination to think in new innovative ways to help others see what can be achieved. Northwestel would leave others to believe that it costs too much to build and not achievable without public funds. And we have proven it can be done with a team of five KFN members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fabian. It doesn't appear we have any questions for you. Thank you very much. And safe travel back.